Welcome to Showing Up Solo, your go-to source for solopreneur success in the digital world. You're not just running a business, you're wearing all the hats, from CEO to content creator. What if I told you there's a way to master online marketing without sacrificing all your time? Hello, and welcome to another episode of Showing Up Solo. I'm thrilled to be joined today by Allie Stone, founder and CEO of The Inspired Leader. I had the privilege of meeting Allie at the recent Chic Summit in the Okanagan, and unfortunately, we didn't get to see each other's workshops because they were at the same time. So this is a real treat for me to have her come on the show. It means I get to have it anyway, and more of a one-to-one setting. So Allie, thank you so much for joining. If you'd like to just let my audience know a little bit more about yourself and what you do.
Sure. Sounds good. Thanks, Hannah, for having me. Yeah, I'm excited. I was sad that I missed your presentation as well. One of my girlfriends attended and she, just absolutely loved it. So just kudos to you for the work that you're doing too. So I'm excited to be here. So my name's Allie Stone, like you said, founder of a company called The Inspired Leader. And so my business is focused around, it kind of has two arms. So one arm, which is focused around women, mid to senior, or well, senior level, usually leaders and entrepreneurs, working with them, helping them in their careers and their businesses. And then I kind of have another arm where I go into organizations and I do a lot of team development and leadership development, really high EI, emotional intelligence focused. I'm like, I'm your people person. I am your person who's going to help you connect your team, help your leaders look at things differently. And I do that with the women that I work with too. So really smart.
Such a very needed thing. When I was in my early 20s, I think I became the second youngest manager of this chain of shoe stores in Canada. And I was given the big downtown store. It was a big deal. And I just didn't know what to do. Like I felt like I really floundered as a manager. I don't know if that was my perception, at least. And it was funny because I had a teaching background, so I knew all about like managing a group of rowdy kids. But I felt like when it came into stepping into a leadership role, there was a lot of, I now see in hindsight, a lot of my own things getting in the way. A lot of it relating to neurodivergent trauma, never feeling quite good enough. And even actually my expectations of people. I think I used to say that if I could do it, that should be like the minimum and everyone else should be able to do what I can do and better. And that was not the right way to approach it because I've since realized I'm actually really good at certain things and not everyone is at that level. Yeah. So I guess I really wish I'd had an Allie in my life.
I get that often. And, you know, for me to become who I am now, that was a long journey for me too, right? And figuring it out, same thing as you. I was 22 years old, got a first partnership sharehold in the original Joe's franchise in Alberta. You know, there was like two original Joe's at the time. And by the time I was done that career, you know, we had 17 restaurants. And so it was like this wild adventure of learning how to lead and really take care of people. And it became really important to me, this understanding that business is humanity. Like if we can bring humanity back to business, everything is so much better. And success comes as a ripple effect of that. I think we often get caught up in that it's like, we got to get this P&L done. We got to get these things done. We got to have, you know, check all these boxes. But at the end of the day, even if we are a solo entrepreneur, a solopreneur is the word, we still need to be with people and we still need to get good at connecting with people and creating those relationships. And so, I'm really passionate about talking about it. And I think it's like so incredibly important.
Well, I think it should be part of our, like, I think it's a definite gap in our educational experience, both in businesses that are promoting, there's not a lot of help transitioning from one role to another. I think it's becoming more common, but it wasn't like a decade ago. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, like just the leadership, even as a solopreneur, when I went from being an employee to suddenly being a CEO, to being like a business owner, it's a real mindset shift. And I work with a lot of new solopreneurs, a lot of people who just come out of that. And a lot of the work we do is helping them switch out of the employee mindset and into this role of being like in control and in charge. I'd love to know what kind of common challenges you have to work through with people in that role.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and you're making me reflect on my own journey too, right? So, I mean, I had this journey, this corporate journey in the restaurants. It was amazing. I was the director of this organization. And then I decide to open the Inspired Leader and I step out on my own. And stepping into my own and sharing my thoughts, not under the umbrella of a restaurant anymore or a group or a team, it was freaking frightening.
Yeah, because right? Suddenly, like, who am I to be telling people what to do? And I do think there's the, like, I will say, if you've been socialized as a woman, there's a lot of we're not sort of encouraged to step into a leadership role. We're very much encouraged to be a complement to a leader. You know, we can be in the background, but not take front and center, or at least for, I would say, our generation. I'm hoping like that my two little girls do not have this problem and they do not mind being in charge. But it is like, I even remember some of the feedback I got was that I was too eager and I kept taking over. Like,
what?
I took charge of the situation too often.
Yeah.
Which is like, yeah, it's messed up.
Yeah, for sure. It is messed up. And I think, you know, I don't hold a lot of like, I get frustrated about this patriarchal issues, these systemic issues that we have. But I also understand that so much of it is so deeply ingrained. And so I think that there's a really important piece here, Hannah, around like us as women starting to acknowledge, understand, and reframe thinking. Because if we want to make some changes in the world, I think it's actually on us. I don't think it's on our male counterparts. I think we need to shift our thinking and start to engage in conversation differently, and then go to our male counterparts and say, hey, here's what I've been thinking. How can we collaborate and come together and start to think differently so that we can create a new way of leading and business in the world? And so,
well, and I like, people who've been socialized as men have their own barriers. And actually, the person who told me I took charge too much actually was a woman in leadership. So, but it's, no, I know what you mean. It's, I think it's, we just have to deprogram this cultural idea, because it's not about who we are in our core. So it's just kind of, like you said, taking ownership and stepping through and moving through and letting everyone know that it can be done, that we are here to support each other and lift each other up. So yeah, sorry, that's just me waxing poetic about it's one of my soapboxes. But I was asking you about those common challenges. So you were talking about your experiences going from being leader of a big business, which I guess you had like that kind of, I don't want to say safety net, but you've got like this big entity behind you, right? So you're representing this business, feels a little safer. I don't know if the experience is for you too, but then going out there and you're representing you, and then suddenly all that inner critic imposter syndrome stuff jumps in.
For sure. And when I made the transition, I remember talking to my husband about it, and he was like, it's probably one of the scariest things you'll ever do, because you're now you're putting your name. So my name, it was no longer Original Joe's, it was now my name on the business. And so if somebody doesn't like what I do, it's very hard not to take it personally. It's very hard not to like feel hurt or slighted by it, right? And I know I'm not everybody's cup of tea, but that doesn't mean that it's not hard, right? And so I get why it's really difficult for a lot of solopreneurs, especially women, to really step into their power and their authenticity. But the one thing I'll say about that journey for me and some of the things that I went through was, number one, it was like to start to believe in myself. So believe in myself and acknowledge the things that I had accomplished. I think as women, we often undervalue the things that we've done. I was like, I was the director of a $35 million a year company for 10 years. I never said that out loud.
I know, until that
a year ago.
That's insane. Like, that is, right? Just like, that is something that you should have tattooed on your forehead, you know?
Right? And yeah, we don't out of.
We don't like to talk about it because
we don't talk about these things, right?
Yeah.
And so I think for me, I thought it was boasting. I think I thought it was like, oh, you can't like say those things because then you're like being all full of yourself and whatever. But no, actually what I've learned in talking about those things is it actually inspires other women to own their story, to start to show up. And so I have this really big thing about like, as women, I think we need to find space to own our story and then collectively hold our stories together. And when we do that, I think we're changing the world. I think we're shaping up a new future in a really beautiful way. But we have to first find our way through that kind of muck and those beliefs that hold us back from owning all of the beautiful things we've done. You just said you had two girls. You brought two beautiful women into this world. Like, we need to own those things, right? And I just think that's so beautiful.
So. It's so interesting. I was recently recording as I was a guest on someone else's podcast, and we got into this about our, like writing your real CV, like your real resume, but include everything. Like, I have birthed two children, and I managed to get three neurodivergent people out the house on time every day. And I, you know, I have managed like all the things you do, not just the like everything. And you'd be amazed, like your resume would be like, you know,
wild.
10 sheets long and longer and longer, because we do sort of devalue so much of what we do. One of the biggest things like in marketing, especially when you're a solopreneur, is obviously showing up for your business. Like you said, you are the business, you are the brand. Especially when you're a service provider, like you are the product, you're selling yourself. And it's a big block for a lot of my clients, but it is a necessary thing. How do you help people? Like, do you have any strategies or tactics that you use to help people overcome some of these roadblocks?
Well, here's the conversation I have always off the hop, is that you've now taken this step, you've planted your flag, you've said to the world, I'm going to do this. Now what you need to do is wake up every single day and say to yourself, I am betting on me. You no longer need to go to a job where you're betting on an organization that somebody else might make a decision where one day you wake up and you don't have a job. No, success is absolutely within your fingertips. You just need to remind yourself every single day that you are betting on you. And you will win. I think that's it. I think that's so important. It's like this massive mind shift from that somebody else is in control of my outcome to I'm in control and I'm taking charge.
And I love that because, yeah, it comes into so many areas, like boundary setting, like one of the things. A lot of people I find when I first encounter them, are very reluctant to narrow down their ideal client because they're worried about maybe being rejected or feeling like they should take everybody. And the biggest thing is they just don't feel comfortable saying, no, thank you. I don't want to work with that kind of person. I don't want to work with a person who's going to have a problem with my kids showing up halfway through a Zoom call, or will have an issue if my kids are sick and I have to reschedule a call, you know, and just feeling the ownership, and not just like those issues, but just even I don't want to work with someone who doesn't respect my, you know, working hours, or that I have a 48-hour turnaround time, or that, you know, and like, because we're so used to feeling like it has to be someone else's roles. But like you said, when you're a leader, if you're betting on you, like when it's your business, so you get to set the terms and you get to say, no, these are the terms. And, yeah. And so I define what my success is going to look like what my business is going to look like.
Hey there, it's your host Hannah popping in to let you know about the big news from my all-time favorite email marketing platform, Flowdesk. They have a new feature, the ability to create and share email templates. This is a game changer, especially for someone like me who sells email marketing scripts and provides training as part of my online courses, because now I can also pre-design your emails for you. To celebrate this, I will be adding email templates to my Flowdesk tutorials, to my email marketing freebies, and to my email marketing courses. And I will not be increasing the prices for the whole month of April. this is huge because this is so valuable just in itself. And if you grab one of my freebies, purchase one of my courses during the month of April, it won't cost you anything more. To find out more, please check out the link in my bio.
Yeah. And it's petrifying.
Yeah.
Because you think that you're going to lose clients, right? You think that by not having this like wide berth, this wide opening for clients to come through. But the problem is that you start, even if you start to catch clients, like you said, you catch the wrong clients, right? And so for me, something that's really important is working with organizations that believe in empowering women and helping women rise and bringing them into leadership roles. And so I had an open berth in the beginning, and I brought in some organizations that were living in a very old place, patriarchy place. And I walked into these organizations and I was like, oh, this is not for me. And it was like immediately icky. And I was like, oh no, how did I get here? Right. And so by really like refining in and narrowing that field, you don't have to have those mistakes or make those mistakes that I did. No, I don't really like mistakes. They were learnings. It was good for me. I knew where I wasn't going back to. And that was okay. I think when you refine that process, you can just see such a faster upward trajectory of success in your business. And I know I get it though. I totally get that it's a scary thing to do.
Yeah. But I'm glad you said that, because I've also had that experience. Every time I've deviated from the person that I know in my gut is the right person to work from, and I've deviated past that gut feeling, the relationship has not been amazing. Mm-hmm. Not that it's gone horribly wrong, but it's not the magic that I get when I work with that client that I know. Like, gosh, I had a client crying yesterday and thanking me for being such a great human being, because that's the magic we get when I work with this particular kind of person. And I don't get that magic with people outside of that. And like I said, it's not that it's a low quality work or anything, or that like it's a super negative relationship, but it's not the magic that you get when you own who you are best at working with. Mm-hmm. And I guess that kind of comes into, I've heard a lot of people wanting to be seen as like thought leaders, you know, or like really owning their niche and stuff. And like, I don't know, does that come up a lot for you?
I think like that's an interesting part of the conversation too, because I think we need to show up on social media or whatever platform, whatever that looks like for you, but we need to show up in some way so that our clients can find us, right? And so some of that is becoming a thought leader. And so I thought a lot about that when I started, because I'm in this leadership realm and I'm like, what do I talk about? And so that was a tough transition for me, because when I started showing up online, I was like, I don't know how to show up. And I was so nervous about it. And I was like, and now what I do, Hannah, is I just show up as me. So like throughout the course of the week, I'm like, maybe even something will come out of this conversation with us. And I will literally hold up my phone later and be like, I had a conversation with Anna today. And right. And I just like, and I'm like, this is something that's going through my head. This is something that I struggle with. Does this resonate with you? And that's all I do. And it has totally like helped me show up and maybe as a thought leader, but I don't consider myself that. I just consider myself somebody who's sharing my insights and my thoughts with other people and hoping that they resonate, and also knowing that they will resonate with the right people. Yes. And so there's something about just being authentic about it, you know, and not getting caught up in it being something so structured or fixed or in a box. I don't really care what it looks like anymore. Yeah. I don't care if I'm like literally rolling out of bed and I filmed the video. Exactly. But again, all those things take time, right?
Yeah. Because I was having this conversation with another solopreneur who's recently realizing that they're neurodivergent, and I didn't realize that I had ADHD. I knew I was dyslexic, but I didn't realize I had ADHD until I started the solopreneur journey and had to do all the hard, you know, mindset shifts that come with the package. And I was talking about the way that I used to have friend Hannah and home Hannah and work Hannah and, you know, networking Hannah, and there were all these different versions of myself. I realize now the term is masking. Mm-hmm. And I just, it sort of made me really aware that line is like there's certain like personal boundaries I do keep with like my professional relationships and my home relationships, but really there is no alternative Hannah, you know? There's just me. Like the way I show up here is the same way I show up with my friends. It's the same way, you know, I show up. I mean, I guess maybe with my family, there's a little bit more goofiness and relaxed. And, you know, and, you know, I just woke up and why do you want to, you know?
Why are you all in my bed right now?
Yeah, why is everyone sad on me? Yeah. But still, I'm a lot more myself. And I think that was one of the biggest things that helped me is just, yeah, just I guess stepping into myself and stopping trying to be all these different versions.
Yeah. And we're just like, when we start to embrace our authenticity, we start to recognize that we're all unique. We all have something beautiful to bring to the world. I have this belief that we were all brought here for a reason and we're on this kind of like journey to figure it out. And it can be really fun if you embrace it. But you have like every woman, anybody listening to this podcast right now, like, I hope that you can see that you have something unique to bring to this world. You just need to like play around with it a little, search around and have some fun with it. And that really is what people want to see too. We need a world with more connection and authenticity rather than inauthenticity and disconnection, right?
Yeah. You've made a thought come to my head about kind of our ideas about like being good enough and like what a leader is. Like, for example, you might think leader and you have to think like president of the United States or, you know, like, you know, Apple CEO or something. But leaders can be very, like, you can be a leader of a very small community in a very small group. So, like, I feel like that's one of the things is like that stops us from owning like a role as a leadership, as a CEO, is because we feel like we're not big enough to do that. We haven't done enough. Does that come up a lot? How do you help people come to terms with that they're enough?
Yeah, it's a big one.
I know, it's a big one.
I'm like, oh gosh, where do I go with that? Okay, well, I guess what I want to say first of all is that it's like an acceptance thing. And when we first, I used to work with a gentleman, he mentored me for a while, and his name's David Irvin, and he wrote a book called The Other Everest, and it was about this journey, how everybody wants to climb Mount Everest, but the other Everest is this journey inward, right? This journey into ourselves. And one thing he said to me was that you don't need a title to be a leader. And I think when we like really start to embrace that, we can step into bigger leadership roles because you're a leader at home with your children. I'm a leader at home. I'm also a leader outside of these four walls in different ways. And so I think we embrace these different capacities. But yeah, this like feeling that maybe we're not enough really does come back to that mindset work, that belief in ourselves, and that kind of like waking up every day. And I can't say this enough, but like betting on yourself and knowing that when you bet on yourself, you'll always win, right? It's when we bet on outside things, external circumstances, that we have those situations in our life where we're like, what happened, right?
Yes, I think this was going to make me actually, and you know what? It's so true because you do all the things. I remember being like that kid who, I was an overachiever in school, always getting great. I did everything I was supposed to do. And then it didn't turn out the way that I thought it would. And and it's very disillusioning and disheartening because you're suddenly like, oh my gosh, what do I do? What's the point? And at least I can say now, no matter what happens in the day to day, like I'm very much in control of my life. And in terms of like what I achieve, and yeah, like it's very much like it's up to me. Mm-hmm. Like you said, whether I have a good day, like, you know, I define it and it's on my terms. So,
and how beautiful is that, right? I think that's the unfortunate part about like even just the way our world and society is structured. We're like brought up to believe that we have to like achieve something externally. We have to meet, you know, we have teachers in school grading us and whatever. It's always just like meeting this like bar. But then at some point in our lives, we wake up one day and we're like, wait a minute. And then we start to peel off all the layers of that onion And I think that's the most beautiful point in our lives, because we start to come back to us and we start to say, okay, like, what's true to me in my heart? What's authentic to me? How do I want to show up? And what does that look like for me then externally? And how does it align with how I want to live my life? And I think when people are living in alignment, we have more harmony, we have more peace, we have happier people, we're more connected, like all of these beautiful, like really big things start to happen. And we just start to put amazing energy out there. So I'm getting a little woo about it, but
no, but it's that's okay. I have this idea of how everything works, in the sense that it's like a domino effect. Everything that we do is a direct result of what's come before it. So like you kind of, like in that sense, you don't really make mistakes, because you're just making decisions based on the information you have at hand. And once you have new information, you make a different decision. But it's kind of that domino effect. And so like every move that we're making is also influencing the next move. And so the more positive moves we can make, the more, you know, we're sending those positive dominoes into the world.
Totally. Yeah. I love that. That's a great way to think about it.
Obviously, I think we could talk about this for hours, because I think we found several rabbit holes to go down, and we're going to have you back on the show at some point to dive deeper into some of those rabbit holes. But I guess for my audience, for my listeners, do you have any like kind of thoughts or key takeaways or a core message you want them to go away with today after listening to this episode?
I think, you know, kind of maybe on some of the areas we touched on, what's just kind of coming up for me and I think is really important is just to remind your listeners that that they matter, that you matter. You know, I am a example of somebody who has gone through the ups and downs, the roller coaster ride of opening my own business, of creating success, knowing what that success looks on the other side. And I will tell you, it's still a roller coaster ride. So I still have to wake up every day and remind myself that I matter. And so it's this commitment to yourself and to your journey and to your authenticity that I think is really important. And if you started your own business, you started it because you want to bring something beautiful to the world. So don't ever forget that, and just go and do it and be you and do your best to enjoy the ride. There's going to be some rocky days, but there's also going to be some really beautiful days. And in the end, I think you're going to look back and have no regrets.
And I think, yeah, definitely. Even if those rocky days, as long as you, it's on your terms, I feel like those rocky days aren't as bad as the rocky days when things go wrong on someone else's terms. Because it's you, it's your, I love that. So for people who are now like, okay, I need more Allie in my life, where can they find you? How can they like reach out, or what, like, where would you like them to go to see?
Sure. I'm super active on Instagram, so that's usually the best place to find me. I'm always in my DMs chatting with everybody. So it's AllieStone__. I can also find me on LinkedIn. I'm pretty active there. So yeah, even if any questions pop up or whatever, I'm always happy to chat with people and answer any questions you might have that come out of the conversation today.
Wonderful. Well, we'll make sure we leave all the links in the show notes so that you can all find Allie. And thank you again so much for joining me. I'm feeling super empowered from this episode. I hope everyone listening is feeling the same way. And yeah, just thank you so much for sharing today.
Of course. Thanks for having me. It was fun.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Showing Up Solo. If you've enjoyed this episode, please consider leaving us a review or sharing your thoughts in the comments. These simple gestures help us appease the algorithm gods and continue to bring you great, free education. Ready to navigate the world of marketing with confidence? Take the Marketing Compass Quiz, available at showingupsolo.com, to discover the next phase of your journey. And don't forget to explore our range of courses and coaching programs while you're there. Let's transform your solo venture into a thriving success story together. Until the next episode, keep showing up and making your mark in the world of solopreneurship. See you soon.